Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome in Jesus' name. And it is good to be here. Seems like you don't think about it unless you miss church a little bit, and it's you realize what you're missing. So it's good to come to God's house. If you like the cold, I expect you was up early this morning and went out and enjoyed it, because it's not going to be here this next week. I think I've seen 64 showing for Friday, so that's warmer than it's been in Florida for the last week or two, actually. So some of us like cold better than others, probably. For the message this morning, there's something I've been thinking about a lot. I actually found rather convicted, you might say, or I feel like it's something that I have came up short on a lot. And when I look back at my life, I don't see near enough of this in my life. And it's something that is actually a command in the Bible. And so when we had communion last, I had preached the communion and I talked about Jesus' suffering and death and what he went through there in Matthew 28. And if you want to turn to Matthew 28, you can. Matthew 28. But right after his death and suffering, and he rose again, and then his disciples in distress. They didn't know. They wasn't expecting all this to happen, and they wasn't sure what to think. But then he had told them before. Let's see. He had told them in, I can't remember what chapter it was there earlier in Matthew, that he would go before them and he would meet them in Galilee. He had told them this. And I think it was Mary and the other lady there at his grave, when they seen the angel there, the angel told them to go tell the disciples that he would meet them in Galilee, and that reminded them. So they went to this mountain in Galilee where Jesus had before told them where to go to, and this is what he told them. I'll start reading here in verse 16 through 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so this is what we know as the Great Commission that Jesus gave. And it's something that when I look at my life, I don't see near enough focus on this commission, this command that we are to give. When I think about my life, I go about my life, I go about my work, I come to church, I come up here and I try to preach to y'all when it's my turn. And I see God, I want God along with me in my life. We all want God with us. We go to him when we don't know what an answer is to something. But Jesus commanded us to spread the news of salvation. And just the way he did when he was on earth. He had compassion on people and he healed people, which we can't really heal people. God could do the healing, but he loved others and he spent time with them. In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, I'll read that. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. It tells us to go forth and make disciples of all people, to convince people to turn to Jesus, to convince people to seek him and to trust him. And maybe when you look at your life, you're satisfied with where you're at with that. But when I look at my life, I'm not satisfied with it. And I see so many opportunities that I didn't take that I could have and seen later. It's just so easy to, you know, this isn't a message that is a choice. We are to do this. And do we see the necessity of it? Do we see the urgency of it? We're to make disciples of all people, to baptize and teach them to obey Jesus' commands. And this is to all nations, everywhere. It's in your home. It's in your community. It's relating to your siblings. It's relating to your children and everybody you're in contact with. Jesus said he had all authority. So he gave the authority. God will work out the details as we obey his command. Sometimes we might think of a mission effort and we wonder how it worked out. Or the outreach that we just did, you know, 2 years ago, nobody knew what the details were going to be. And yet God works things out. And we have to move forward with this mission. So often I forget about this. And so what is the answer to it? We're so busy, it feels like. And we might console ourselves. We don't do all the bad things, and people see that, and so that's their Bible to read. And that's a lot of it. That's a big part of it. But do we take time to look at people as an individual and their need and converse with them? And, you know, I'm not saying start right in on about their spiritual life, but have an interest in them and give a opportunity for this to start. I can remember, well, it was actually when Trevor's were in the hospital. We was on the way down there, was running a little bit late. And me and Bailey ran into Walmart to get some stuff to take them. And we was in a hurry. And we was just rushing through Walmart, grabbing our stuff, and giving no attention to anybody else, really. And I thought about that. You know, what if somebody needed encouragement? What if somebody needed talk to? And a lot of us are a little more that way, even when we're not in a hurry. You just kind of do your thing, and you don't pay people attention. Now, since then, I have tried a little bit, and you would be amazed at the people. You think nobody wants to talk to anybody, because that's the way our world's set up now. Everybody does their own thing, and they walk around with their head. They won't look at you hardly, and if they do, they look away, and everybody's gone to get their pair of gloves or whatever, and they're not interested in conversation. That's the way it could appear. And yet, if you take the time to actually say something to somebody, you would be amazed at how they light up, or they, I say light up. It's almost like they're surprised and they're glad that you said something to them. And you can start a conversation. Now, that's not something that comes natural for me. I have to force myself to do that. But it's worth it. And we're supposed to reach out to people. If God's people are walking around with the weight of what they're not getting done in time and their goals they're not meeting and they're not looking at anybody and they probably ain't got a very happy look on their face about half the time. Actually, I know, personally know, it, not here, but a Christian lady, I'll call her, one of our fellowship, that actually had somebody tell her at Walmart that to smile because God loved her. So, you know, we show what we got going on inside pretty good. And so if God's people are seen as these people walking around, you know, that's not showing God to others. That's not a very good way to interact and to spread the good news of salvation. And I believe today, in looking at this and thinking about it, I believe it is harder today to connect with people than it's been before, probably than it's ever been before. Because, you know, a percentage that's growing walk around in town with their AirPods in and they're looking, you know, so they're in their own world. You don't know if they're listening to music. You don't know if they're talking to somebody. So everybody stays away from everybody. They're just in their own world. And then, so you don't really know if you will need to talk to them people or not. And then you have the self-checkouts, and I use them, and they're convenient because it's empty, and you're going to run over there, and you're going to check yourself out and go. And I don't think it's wrong to use them. But there's nobody at that self-checkout, and you're not going to talk to anybody. You might talk to that lady that's watching the checkouts a little bit when you leave. But it's like the world is setting it up to where you don't interact with anybody except who you want to. You're not forced to interact. And just recently, I checked out of a motel, and you could just leave your room key right there on the wall, talk to nobody, just walk out. And some restaurants, you can pay at the table. You can tip right there with your card. No transaction with people. And I even thought about online shopping. And I do a lot of it. But you're not talking to people. You're not meeting people. And so it's easy to avoid people in the world we live in. And I believe it takes more effort to connect. And I think as God's people, we should make the effort to connect with people. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go through a self-checkout. It's just stuff I thought about that. You know, go where somebody is. Go where a physical person is and talk to them. You never know who might need somebody to talk to. I read an article, some of you may have read it back a while in the Illustrator. I get this devotional email, and it was talking about this family that had bought a property and built a house, and in the house they built a fireplace, and they put cultured stone, which is pretty, it's man-made stone, and it's lighter, and it looks good, but they didn't want to use real stone because it was so much more, they're way heavier, and they can cause problems depending what, if it's over a basement or whatever. That was their thought. But in the middle of their fireplace, they went to a family property, and they got a regular real stone that was real pretty, and they put it right in the middle, or somewhere in the middle of this cultured stone, fake rock, and they laid it in there. And this rock stood out. It was prettier than the other rocks. It was a nice-looking rock, and it caused a lot of interaction. When people would come to their house, they would often talk about this rock, and yeah, it stood out from the others. It made a conversation. And so I had to think about that. You know, a real Christian is going to stand out in the world, and there's going to be something there to talk about. This Great Commission reflects God's desire for all people to be saved. You know, he gave his son, and we gladly accept his salvation, and yet he wants other people saved, and he wants us to be involved in that. He didn't put us here just to accept his salvation and get everything we can out of life. We're to spread his salvation. And you know, sharing the gospel, it can be very simple. It can be simply talking about Jesus' sacrifice to somebody, just mentioning it. And I'm the person I'm working on right now, a landowner, of course, he knows that we're Christian people, and I didn't really know where he was at for sure. But one day we was talking, and I don't remember how the conversation was going, but he said, you know, someday we're gonna go home anyway, and he meant die and go to heaven. That's what he was meaning by it. And it was just a word that, something he said that simply opened an opportunity for conversation. It kind of surprised me that he said it, really. But just something like that we can say, and you know, maybe that's all you're supposed to say. Maybe it will turn into something a lot more. We went to Batesville the other day, me and my wife, and the roads was clear, but there was plenty of snow along the road in people's driveways. Them plows, if you don't have any snow at the end of your driveway when the plow gets done, you've got a pretty good mountain of it. And so we went to Batesville. On the way back, we seen this lady out shoveling snow behind this car. It was, I don't know, probably 20 feet off the road her car was. And it looked like, I can't even believe she was out there trying to shovel it, because it looked like it was a never-ending job. And my wife said, well, she was there doing that when we went to town, and I didn't see her. So I thought, well, we'll turn around and go back and help her see what we can do. And so I went back and got her shovel, and she kept shoveling. She got another shovel, and we shoveled snow for a long time. I told my wife I wasn't going to need to work out that night, because I had my workout. It was a lot of shoveling and back and forth and spinning, and so during this time she was talking. She was a talker, and she was talking quite a bit. And she was telling me how, I don't know how she started in, but eventually she was telling me that she had got in a car wreck. Somebody had hit her from behind real hard and had messed up her back. And she was saying words that most of us don't even know are on your body. And she was in the hospital she was down for like 8 years getting over this whole, it was a real ordeal. And she went on to say, she gets out and jogs, and she's done 1,600 miles, or I don't know what. But anyway, she'd really been, if her story was accurate, it seemed like the longer it went, the bigger it got maybe. But if it was accurate, she had went through a lot. And so somewhere in there, I said, well, it sounds like God's been good to you, you know. And that's about all I said. And she said, oh yeah, she said, I couldn't have done it on my own. And that's where I left it. But you know, I had opportunity. I was there shoveling snow for her. She was stuck, you know, she couldn't run off on me. So I could have really started talking to her. And I don't know if I should have, but I could have asked her about her salvation. I could have asked her probably some questions otherwise I wouldn't have got by with. And later I thought about that I really should have said more about God than what I did. Today our lives should stand out to the unbelieving world. The generation we live in, people don't automatically go to church and read the Bible. People watch us and they see how we handle troubles that come to us. And so a lot of how we live and respond to life, I believe, it does tell a lot for us. In Matthew 5, verse 16, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And Psalms 119, 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we can take people to the Bible. You know, a lot of times we want to say something how we view something, but take people to the Bible. And if they want to argue with that, then let them argue with it. But the Bible is what guides us, and it's where we need to take people to. We are to be a light to the world. And when you think about being in darkness, sometimes if we get home, it gets dark early. So if we get home, we don't go down and hey the animals right away, it'll get dark. So I'll take a flashlight along, or a spotlight, or some kind of light, so I can see the hay, I can see what's going on. And if you think about a lighthouse along an ocean on the shore there, it's something that people can look to, and they find safety there, and they know where they need to go and where not to go. So we're to be a light to the world. Another way to interpret this verse, Matthew 5:16, and I quote, it's a quote I found. It says, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept." We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you a light bearer, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a blanket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And so a light on a hill, it made me think of there's a house in North Carolina where we used to live. And there's this glass house way up on top of a mountain. It's a tall mountain. And it's a glass house, so it reflects the sun certain times of the day. During the daylight, you could see the sun reflecting off of it. And if I remember right, at night, and we lived probably 10 miles from this glass house, at night, in the right situation, you could see this house over on that mountain, the lights that were there. So it was a light on a hill, a city that is set on a hill. It will not be hid. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So God created us for his glory. And to bring glory to him is to be helping others to him. And another little story, actually, before the little story, I was up at Imboden at a gas station, probably it was back in October, and there was a man in the gas station, and he was just standing in there, and he was quoting Bible verses out loud, and he was conversing with people, or he would just kind of roll it into a question with the guy that had come in there. And, you know, I was like, there's something about that I admired him for doing that. That wouldn't be easy to do. Now, I'm not saying that is something we need to do all the time. He was probably asked to leave, I would imagine. But he was taking it literal to spread God's word. And that's what he was doing. And it was shortly after that. Some of you probably heard this story, but we went camping over at Jasper. And when we went to leave, I had asked for a late a later departure or checkout time. And they didn't want to give much of one, but they said, well, if you're out of the tents with bedding by an hour later, it would be fine. And I'd asked for like 3 hours later. So I thought, and I was probably wrong, but I thought he meant be out of the tents an hour later, and then we could have our 3 hours. And so that's what we did. And when it came time to leave, we left right on time. And the man came down there, and he was not happy at all. And he was using some language that I didn't appreciate in front of my children. And he said something. I said, well, I thought we was right on time, you know. And, yeah, he was very, you know, we was being very disrespectful. And so finally I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, you just tell me what I owe you and I'll pay you whatever you want. And no, he didn't want to do that. He was just all bent out of frame because we hadn't left when he thought he had given us. Looking back, I thought he was in the wrong. But looking back, I must have misunderstood him or something. And so we left out of there, and it kind of messed the whole... It just was a bad ending to what we had there that weekend. And on the way home, or for the next probably hour or 30 minutes anyway, I was rolling this around in my mind, and I was like... You know, how wrong this guy was. And he was talking about me being disrespectful. And what are you doing there cussing in front of my children? If you want to talk about respect, you know, this was the kind of stuff going through my mind. And, you know, I felt convicted about that because that was an opportunity to say something about God. And I hope he seen some light there. I didn't talk ugly to him. It was just my reaction inside I felt was wrong. That wasn't my right to feel that way. Well, don't you know, we got home and we had took some of our towels and washcloths and they had some there. And when we got home, my wife had accidentally packed in one of his towels in our stuff. And I thought, boy, this is going to be good. And so I called him the next day, Monday morning. I said, my wife accidentally put this in there. I'm sorry. I said, I'll send it to you. I'll pay you for another one, whatever you want to do. And no, that's fine. It won't, you know, it won't cost much. Don't worry about it. And he acted completely normal. And but there again, while I was on the phone with him, I should have took the opportunity to simply say something. So yeah, just some experiences I've had in that. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify, or that would mean have reverence for, but have reverence for the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And 1 Corinthians 1:17, this is Paul. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." In closing here, I want to read John 14, verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus is coming back, and we don't know when. And is this urgent to us? When you go to Batesville, you'll see an urgent care down there. There's probably one in Walnut Ridge, or they're all over the place. Urgent care. And so when we're concerned about something, when we have a health problem going on and we're concerned about it, we go to an urgent care because it's urgent and we want it fixed. We don't want it to go bad. And so do we view what we're to do here as urgent? I don't near as much as I should. Time is running out, and it's running out for us, and it's running out for others. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. It might be in our lifetime. It might be in our children's or our grandchildren's. And when I think about our life, you can think about your life and the timeline, and they talk about the dash between the dates, so you can put you a dot on each end and start drawing a line, and you don't know how far across there you are. And that's the time you have to live for God, and it's the time you have to share God with others. And God sees us down here. He knows when our life's going to end. And when I think about all that, it is a lot more urgent than what it's easy for me to think. Whether Jesus comes back in our life, it doesn't matter. What we do in our time allotted to us does matter. So God bless each of you as you shine for Jesus and live for Him and spread His news of salvation. Let's stand for prayer.